Welcome to the Engage and Empower podcast. Behind every successful company is an intentional and innovative approach to empowering your most valuable asset, your people. Join me in having conversations with people and talent leaders as we share our journeys and unpack what it takes to build strong, cohesive teams and employee experiences. From executives at early-stage startups to innovators at large public companies, we'll capture the compelling stories of the people behind people teams. Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to the Engage and Empower podcast. I'm your host, Resika Rajagopalan, and today I am so excited to be chatting with Ashley Alexander, Head of People at Front. Ashley has a wealth of experiences leading and scaling high-growth organizations. Prior to Front, she was previously serving as head of HR for experiences at Airbnb and has worked on some really innovative initiatives in her day. And so I'm excited to dig into all of that. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Resika. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, it's going to be fun. I'm so ready to hear all about your story and everything you've been up to lately. But if you wouldn't mind just getting us started by giving listeners a quick background and intro on you and on Front, what you do and what the people team looks like there, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am one of the few people, I think, who started in HR many years ago now. I won't say how many, but I've been in HR in transportation, construction, clean tech, and then moved over to software companies and high growth startups. I've been at companies of various sizes and stages, and I've been at Front for almost 3 years now. Within my scope, I have HR, recruiting, workplace experiences, of course, diversity and inclusion, and we're growing quite a bit. We're at 200 employees now. We're adding another 150 this year. So a lot of growth. Working on, future of work plan, making sure our employees stay connected and that our culture is very rich during this time and beyond. So a lot of interesting, exciting, and super challenging initiatives for not just myself, obviously, but HR leaders all over the world.
Yeah. No, I think it's a really cool story that you have. And to your point, you're one of the rare few that actually started your career in people and talent, which I think is really cool and must have been an interesting journey. The field has obviously evolved a ton in the last 10 years. So I guess I'd like to start by asking, did that transition feel gradual for you? Did it feel sudden? Did you expect it when you first started your career? Like, what has that entire evolution been like for you?
You know, I remember at my first job, as an HR, a temp HR person, just covering for someone else who was on leave, working on, recruiting, I-9s, like all the very basic, early HR work that you'll do. And I remember having, over time, like a line of people sort of standing outside my cubicle, because cubicles were a thing at the time, who wanted to express things going on with them, share their feelings, share their experiences. And I remember thinking I really loved that part of the job, but it didn't feel, to your point, like a part of the job at the time. But as I stayed in HR and it evolved, I found that if you actually engage with people and add value in listening to them and partnering with them, those individuals will keep coming back and they will provide the same for you. So then you'll start to get, feedback from them. You'll be able to build on what you're hearing from the organization. And that's really like the best source of information that you can get. And so I think companies over time have really leaned into this role. I think the HRBP is an extremely strategic position. And of course, it takes the right companies and the right leaders to really understand it and embrace it. But I think over time, HR has really been able to show the value with that feedback loop. And that's, been built out into metrics and other ways of engaging. So it has felt gradual. I will say, this last year, I think, has been the most dramatic shift, though, for HR in my career, certainly, going from, certainly in a strategic position to start with at Front, but moving from that very quickly into the person who's going to be focused on a global pandemic, which, by the way, is not in my skill set. And then on to, how do you stay connected? How do you move to remote work? how do you support people in diverse backgrounds in this time? And so I think the shift has actually been in the last year more than any time before that for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear you say that. I would have to agree. I haven't been in the field quite as long, but it sounds like from the beginning, from the very first experience you had, you saw the potential for what this field could evolve into, and it ultimately did. And, you know, looking back at 2020, there's been an added layer to that, which is really, you know, we truly do sit at the intersection of the business and enable every team to be successful through their people. And especially in a time as, you know, ever changing as today, the opportunity and the impact that the people team can have has never been, you know, more clear. And so, yeah, I think it's a really exciting time. I want to rewind back to your role at Airbnb, your time at Airbnb. Airbnb really coined this new idea of employee experience. I've read they have a super innovative way around thinking about how to engage people through the entire employee lifecycle, even starting from before they join. So can you share a little bit more about how the people team built that employee experience and what you took from Airbnb that you continue to apply in your roles today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Airbnb is a really special company, and I learned a ton there that I've, you know, been able to bring to front and into the HR community. So I think, you know, Airbnb stands for belonging, right? Like their mission is for people to belong. And if you kind of start from that place, it gives you a ton of room as an HR and recruiting team to make the right decisions, right? So like, it's almost like leaning on your values, but at Airbnb, it's even bigger because you're thinking about how can you make sure people really feel like they're included and belong. And so from like performance reviews, compensation, any conflict, employee relations, I feel like they do a really good job making sure people feel heard, even at 4,000 employees or whatever number they're at today. So that can be challenging, of course, at times, you know, so many different voices and needs, different backgrounds, but they really try to engage every single employee. And I think that's pretty special at Airbnb. And it gives the HR team a lot of leeway to do what they think is the right thing to do in the moment. And I think that's really special.
Yeah. How do you scale something like that? Like in a small company, 100 people, it's easy to check in with everyone and make sure they feel heard and actually take action on a lot of the feedback that you're receiving. Like, how did you see that scale as the company got bigger and bigger?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Like, I think scale is a really, I think about scale a little bit differently, I think, than you might traditionally hear about scale. So certainly like any company, including Front, right? Like, I'm thinking we're at 200 people, we're going to go to almost 400 people and so on and so on. The things that we're doing today aren't going to serve us as well as they will tomorrow. But if you actually think about the employee as like every single individual matters, it actually becomes quite easy to make sure that you're making the right decisions as a business from who to hire, who to let go of, who to give feedback to, how to think about your policies and programs in a way that is actually more authentic than simply saying, okay, we need to scale. And so I need to do X because that's the right next thing to do at our size. So it's not simple, but I think that individual employee voice and the individual employee experience actually helps to really feed into the decisions that you make at scale. So I even tell my team now, like, I want them to treat every employee that comes their way like they are the manager of that person and not just the HR person. So they really feel like they own what's going on with that employee. And no, certainly I don't mean you have to satisfy every ask or request. And certainly many requests or feedback is in conflict with the next person. But if you're really engaged in trying to take that employee's experience into account, I think it leads to a more authentic way to scale, and it leads to healthier programs.
Yeah, I completely agree. A couple of years ago, one of the executives I used to work with would oftentimes say, you know, people bring in charts and metrics and data, and you see all of these trends. And a lot of times folks would just drop out all of the outliers or the individual, you know, pieces of data that didn't align with the trend. And he would often say, like, those are really important stories. Like, why did that customer have that experience? Or why did this happen in that scenario? And I often think of my role in the people world very similarly, where there's, you know, as you grow, there's tons of surveys you want to do, and there's tons of ways that you want to hear you know, what employees are having in terms of experiences. But whenever you do hear a story that, you know, doesn't match the narrative that you're expecting, or that looks a little different than what a majority of folks are experiencing, that's still a very real experience for that person and something worth trying to understand and address. And so I like the idea of really, you know, as you scale, like really continuing to deliver experiences for the individual, which is very in line with what you all do as a business. And so it feels like it's a core part of your mission. And I guess that takes me to my next question, which is, you know, Airbnb obviously cares a lot about the employee experience. It cares a lot about creating meaningful experiences to people across the world. And so how do you feel like people teams, like how do you feel like people teams influence the end customer experience? Like how is there this domino effect that happens where, you know, the people and talent team actually end up playing a role on the end experience that a consumer has? Like, do you think that there's something there? Do you think that there's impact we're having on the end experience that a customer has? And how do you think about it?
I sure hope so. Yeah, I definitely think so. So I think it's all about authenticity, right? So like, if an employee actually feels cared about, valued, engaged with their company or their even their manager or the mission of the company, whatever it is that motivates that employee and makes them feel like genuinely a part of the team, that's going to show in everything they do. Just like how, you know, if your personal life is in a challenging place and how easy it is to bring that to work now, right? Like everything is connected. And so if you're having healthy experiences that are authentic to people at work, it will absolutely translate to how that person shows up to a customer and to their other teammates, which also bleeds back to the customer. So I think like, you know, it's really about making sure that people feel super valued in an authentic way. And then of course, I track that with, you know, tons of metrics. We do employee surveys. We make sure that I'm constantly looking at our OKRs from within the business to make sure that people are attaining their goals at an individual and a team level, looking in on like workload and stress. These kinds of things are super important, of course, especially right now. So it doesn't come without the metrics piece for sure. But I think like I always kind of go back to transparency, which is one of our values at Front, and having authentic experiences. And back to Airbnb, making sure people feel like they actually belong and can share if they don't feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. Do you feel like there are ways that as, you know, people, professionals, we could or should quantify some of these things more? I think oftentimes HR gets, you know, the reputation of being like, you know, focusing on soft metrics and how are people feeling when in reality, like you're also really impacting the bottom line, you know, maybe in an indirect way, maybe in a direct way. But are there ways that you think people, leaders can better connect the impact of the work that they're doing on, you know, the bottom line of the business?
Yeah, I think like, first of all, any like good, effective HR leader needs to first like deeply understand the business, right? So like, obviously understanding like the product, but really understanding who the customers are, even getting involved, talking to some of the customers, being able to walk with the employees so that you can help them solve problems, regardless of whether or not it's in your scope. And like at my level now and in my role now, like I said, that is all about like making sure we have the right people in the right teams, certainly tracking the soft metrics, as you mentioned, but also looking at the OKRs on a weekly basis with the executive team and making sure like, are we actually tracking and hitting what's going on and diving deep as a business partner? So yes, absolutely. And I think it all really connects.
Yeah. I think to your point, it goes back to, again, that partnership of being plugged in and making sure that you're having conversation around that and you're constantly tying the decisions that you're making to the needs of the business, which you really do need to have a deep understanding of. One of the things you talk a lot about is purpose in your role as a people leader and how important, you know, it is to constantly have that internal purpose on why we are doing what we're doing. And I've also heard you share in the past how critical it is for people teams to ensure that every employee has a firm grasp of that, which I think is a tough thing for a lot of folks as we've moved into, you know, a distributed world where there's a lot going on in the outside world. And so would love to hear more about your thoughts around this and how your team supports your employees through finding that purpose at Front.
Yeah, it's a great question, especially right now to your point. Like, I think what we've discovered over the last year, at least at Front, is like purpose means something different for everyone. And so like Mathilde, our CEO, and our leadership team, being able to authentically say like why Front exists and why our customers matter and why our product matters and why they as employees matter to us is one thing. It's a very different thing for a parent who is, helping their child with school that day on Zoom and then having to, you know, balance work and life, and what that person's purpose is might be different. And so I think right now, and I imagine it'll continue to evolve this way, like being supportive of each individual's purpose in their life and having work be able to fit into that narrative for each person and be very supportive about that, I think is the key for HR teams right now. We don't want to have a top-down approach. We want to have a top-down perspective, and allowing like the human experience to come in, I think is critical.
Yeah, definitely. I think they say finding meaning in what you do is one of the largest ways that you can drive intrinsic motivation. And so you can only motivate people so much through recognizing them and through compensation and through perks and the company culture that you build. But at the end of the day, if people don't have a sense of, you know, this is the broader meaning behind why I'm choosing to do what I do. I mean, there's so many options for what any person can spend their day-to-day doing. You know, it's going to be tough to bring people together, to cultivate that energy, that culture, and ultimately enable people to be the most successful version of themselves.
Totally. I think you said it really well. And I think like making sure that you don't underestimate what people are going through right now while also sharing the company's purpose, I think is really important. So like when I speak to our company, I talk a lot about like the challenges I'm facing, right? Like, okay, we have to talk about future work. There's a lot of challenging, you know, conflicting research there. There's a lot of different personas and different things that people want. And so I think like for me, I share that my purpose is for them to be able to come to work and feel like they can focus on their job and not have the things that are often challenging about work be in their way. And so that we can have a company that can work happier and that our customers can really thrive. And so I think like making sure again that we're having humility and being open about our own experiences is a super important part of purpose and people feeling like they can connect their work and their personal lives right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love the very human approach that you take to the way that you think about building programs and the way that you think about supporting both, you know, your employees and your broader business. We talked earlier about scale and how it kind of relates to, you know, scaling certain programs. On that same topic, a question I have for you is agility. Like, how do you stay agile and innovative in a lot of the new approaches you take, especially at larger organizations? I know Front is on the smaller side compared to Airbnb, but you know, when you are at larger companies or as you've continued to scale your programs, how much of your year is continuing to launch your steady stream of tried and true programs that seem they're working authentically, you know, with your culture? And then how much of it is trying something new?
Yeah, totally. So I think there are like only so many amazing ways to do certain programs, right? So like, I think when I first started at Front, I was like, okay, I'm going to be super innovative. I'm going to do all of these neat things. And I was quickly like, I quickly realized that like, there's a reason some of these things are done the way they're done. And like, you can try to redo performance reviews 1,000 times. Many people have to some success, certainly, but like, there are reasons that these things work the way that they do. And so I think that was early on in my time here. It was a good way. I took a step back and sort of thought, okay, where do I want to spend my energy on innovation? And so I actually do focus time every week. So on Mondays right now, I spend a few hours where I work on project work, but also jot down like some ideas that I have or things that I've read or things I've heard from other HR leaders that are interesting. And then I try to fold those into the foundational programs you really have to have at any company, and then weave those into our goals, you know? So it's really about like what makes sense for our culture and our company at our size. What do we have to do to scale? How do we not lose that human element? But to your point, like building an actual time to think about those things is a part of, I think I consider it part of my job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I've seen it a lot in job titles too, where it's like, how many different words are we going to come up with for head of marketing? How many different words are we going to come up with for basic, you know, like feedback exchange program? At some point, people have no idea what you're talking about. And I think that, you know, there are things that are tried and true, or language that, you know, people can really get behind. And you really have to ask yourself, are you doing something differently for the sake of doing something differently? Or are you doing something differently to address a need or a new challenge? So I'm with you on that one. As far as like new ideas, anything you've been working on or anything you've jotted down lately that you'd be interested in sharing?
Yeah. So, you know, the pandemic and remote work have been obviously a huge challenge for the world and for our employees, but an interesting time to be able to like rethink work and time spent. And so one of the things that we implemented early in the pandemic that we're still doing this year is we do wellness days. So that was one of the ideas that we had that we're kind of focusing on now, and how many should we have now? Should we do more of them? I think they've really proved out to be useful where the whole company is off. And of course, customer support teams and customer success, some of our recruiters have more of a rotation, but we give everyone the day off. We tell people, do not come online, do not expect to be on. And we make sure that people are taking time off because people aren't traveling right now. They're not doing the things that they used to be doing. And so, and other companies have adopted this. It's not like completely innovative, but I think getting ourselves into a place where we really think about like what makes sense now, and reflecting back on the last 2 or 3 months of time during the pandemic and not anchoring ourselves in any of the standard ways of working, I think is how I think about it right now. So this is just one thing, but we're thinking a lot about like our health and wellness and other things like that. The other thing I wanted to mention is, and we said, we did a blog post about this as well. We have, our team did a ton of work on our company offsite. So I'm using quotes here. Before the pandemic, we were doing 200 person, you know, in-person offsites where we do a ton of team building. We have a team in Paris as well. And we would come together and it was an amazing experience. Obviously, that wasn't going to happen in 2020. So we put real time and energy into thinking about like what builds connection for people. People prefer bite-sized information, not long Zoom meetings, entertaining and connecting people together. So how do we weave that into 2021 is another way I'm thinking about this. And, you know, anything from rethinking all hands, how do you connect with people in a different way now? So anyway, these are the kinds of things I think about when I get excited in my free time and I have time to actually write things down.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think those are things that a lot of people are thinking about. I love the wellness days. Maybe I'm getting a little too meta with this, but I've often thought like, you know, when the light bulb was invented, people were working longer hours because suddenly now like you have light at night, like you can do more things. And that caused a lot of fatigue, I think, because, you know, the expectation suddenly shifted and it's like, okay, where do you find the balance? And similar, like now we have the opportunity to work all the time. Like the work setup that I had when I used to go into an office is now like in the middle of my living room. And so I think finding ways to encourage people to find that balance is really helpful. A big shift that has occurred through distributed work is this idea that, you know, employees are largely measured on the impact that they bring and less on, you know, how much time they're spent at their desk. That's not something that's visible to most managers at this point. And so when you are measured on impact, you're going to put in the work either way. And so I think giving people time to unplug because they're likely, you know, working on a much more like goal-oriented level versus a time on the computer perspective, I think you really get a win-win there because otherwise, you know, you risk burnout and disengagement and tons of other things. So.
Totally. Yeah. It reminds me of like much lesser situation, but like, I think like at Box, when we did expenses and we never gave people like an expense budget, we had the Be an Adult program, like treat the money like it's your money program. And then if you don't, we'll have like, we'll chat about it. And I just loved that. And that's how I think about work now. And, you know, it really aligns, I think, with the values that I've described and that I have in how to treat people. It's like, people want to get their work done. They want to have like lucrative careers. They want to be a part of a team. They want to make impact. And how do we support them to be able to do that in the best way that they can? And if we can, all of the things that we've talked about before will happen. They'll have an authentic experience. Well, they'll feel valued. It'll ultimately impact our customers in the right way. So I say treat people like adults, but we have to figure out exactly what that means, you know, to make sure that we can continue to build our culture and other things.
Right. Giving people the best way to build accountability is trust and empowering people versus writing a bunch of rules and guidelines on a sheet that you're expecting people to follow. So yeah. as we kind of wrap, I love, you know, you've had tons of really cool experiences through your career. It sounds like you have a ton of really innovative ideas as well. You know, are there certain places you go or resources or, you know, books or people, anybody that you kind of lean on or that you learn a lot from that, you know, other people in talent leaders should know about?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like my network of HR leaders are my best friends right now. And it's really been so important to have that network during the pandemic. And I just think it's like been a huge positive lift for me. So I'm a part of a few groups. I'm a part of the People Tech Advisory Group. We help give feedback to startups on people technology. And so there's some time commitment, but it's a wonderful commitment because you're giving back to the community and that like you get to like help build technology for HR, while also there's a forum of HR leaders that have a community. And we're constantly pinging each other like, hey, who's thinking about, you know, employer of record today? Or who's thinking about, you know, how are we going to handle the vaccine distribution and making sure people feel really safe and respecting people's boundaries and their backgrounds? And so lots of things that like you just, it's so much easier and just more energizing to do together. So People Tech, I'm also a part of a group called Twine. It's another HR group, I think a much larger. And again, it's like a forum tool. They have a polling system. So there's benchmarks that come out of that, which are super useful. And you can actually, if you actually buy their tool, you can plug in your own data, which I've done. And so you can see your own employee data against the benchmarks coming from this tool. And there are many others. I know lots of different HR groups, but I think it's so important for us to do this together and to help each other be humble, share your ideas. So I think it's been a great part of my experience over the last year, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, the community is everything. I think we're just at the beginning of navigating the change that we're about to continue to see. I think early on in the pandemic, I was like, all right, we'll make it through to the vaccine and then, you know, things will go back to normal. And I think we're realizing now that the future of work is going to continue to look, you know, more and more evolved. And so I think working on these problems together is, I think what makes it fun in some ways and rewarding and energizing, and also enables all of us to collectively be more successful. At the end of the day, as a people leader, you're not generally, you know, like my end goal is not to just build great experiences for the employees at my company. It's really to impact the field and the employee experiences that people have, you know, even more broadly. And I think when we're able to come together as people leaders, like we're able to do exactly that. And so I love that you have that network.
Yeah, I love that you said that because I do think some of my most energizing moments have been like calling another HR people leader and saying like, whoa, like what? This is crazy. You know, how do we get through this together? And certainly it's a village. And I also agree, like giving back to that community, it's super rewarding.
Yeah, totally. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to hang out with me and share more about, you know, how you all are thinking about employee experiences at Front and for, of course, sharing your story and the experiences and ideas you've had along the way. This has been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me and for doing what you're doing because you are the one giving back.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more stories like this, please subscribe for the weekly drop and feel free to share around with your people and talent colleagues. I'd love your feedback, so please leave a review and let us know what you enjoyed and what types of topics you'd like to see covered in the future. The more reviews and subscribers we get, the more quality content we can consistently deliver to you. If you're interested in being on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me at resica@engageandempower.org. See you next week.